Hi, welcome back to my podcast. I'm here with a special guest, my sister.
Hi, my name is Yarden.
And today we'll be going over some questions. So, Yarden, why do you think, why is there suffering in the world?
Wow, that's a pretty intense question. A lot of people like to try and explain why they're suffering in the world by basing it off their faith, off of their religion. A lot of people argue that's what religion was created for an explanation. But I think at the end of the day, we can't really explain why they're suffering. All you could really do is do things to limit the suffering in the world, to help other people, to make the world a better place, to make yourself a better person.
I do agree with you. I do believe that we can't really stop suffering and like where it came from. We just know we could like take steps to like have less of suffering.
Exactly.
So where do you think evil comes from?
There's been a lot of discussion on if you're born quote unquote evil, or if it's something genetic, biological, if it's the environment you were surrounded by. I think it depends, because when we look at different cases, you can see both. You can see, well, I'm not sure about the biological aspect, but you can see people who grew up in a horrible living situation, horrible parents that were abusive, let's say, and they ended up being psychopaths, serial killers, whatever you may want to say. But then at the same time, there are people who also grew up in these same horrible environments, but they grew up and became the most successful people and overcame all the challenges and hardships that they had to endure when they were younger as children. So the question, where does evil come from, also is a pretty big one. What do you think?
Well, I think that evil can be both biologically and environment, because we know a lot of cases of like serial killers and that they like grew up a really bad childhood. And then, but like what you were saying, also people, the same environment, they grew up and they're one of the most successful people now. But I also think it is biological, because there's some people that
are just born.
Like there's serial killers that they grew up in a fine house,
right,
and everything.
Good family.
Yeah, a good family and all of that. And then suddenly they just start killing everyone with no reason.
Right.
And so how do people that manipulate how do you feel about people that manipulate?
Like manipulate others?
Yeah.
I think this can also be discussed with what we just talked about, depending on the environment, because a lot of the times kids learn from their parents. Not always, but a lot of the times, you know, the saying, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So many kids mimic what they see from their parents. If they see their father, their mother, or their older sibling or someone as a very manipulative person, they might think, oh, that's okay. And then they become manipulative either on purpose or just because they thought that's what they grew up learning and they think that's okay. Obviously, I don't think people who are manipulative are good. But yeah, there's always a broader context and explanation for why.
So what I also think, I think that you should stay true to what you believe in and not make people change your way you look at something.
Right.
And how do you feel about experience? How do you feel about experiences, past experiences that can affect someone's acts like now?
This also goes back to all the questions on whether the environment can affect people's actions today. And so how I feel about how they can affect it.
Yeah, like how does that experience affect how they act today? Or like,
Well, I think definitely every experience you have affects you, and it can be good or bad. But to some degree, every single experience you have does affect you. It does change. It may change the way you think. It may not. But even if it doesn't change the way you think or doesn't change something you do, that still in a way has affected you because you experienced whatever experience it was. So I think our past experiences are very important, but they don't define the actions people do. And at the end of the day, at a certain point, when people are old enough and mature enough to understand their actions, then it's on them. It's not on the past experiences. Of course, that comes into play on maybe an explanation on why they do things or why they do like manipulative things or bad things. But at the end of the day, that's still their responsibility once they reach a certain age where they are able to understand what they're doing.
Yeah, I do agree with you, but I'm reading this book called Mouse, and this guy was in the Holocaust and everything. And in present day, after the Holocaust, he's a very stingy man.
Yeah.
And he likes keeping stuff and saving, even when he has a lot of money. He gets matches from the hotel and everything. And I'm comparing it because he was in the Holocaust. They had to save everything they had.
Right. They got nothing. Well, first of all, they got everything taken away from them, and then they were given nothing. So that's actually a perfect example of how past experiences can affect people's actions. In that case, you know, it's very unfortunate and sad. And I kind of take back what I said, saying that it's all on them because...
Yeah, because some experiences they couldn't...
They're too traumatic and...
Yeah.
Just so deeply rooted now that that's the way the character today is living.
So how powerful are your own words?
I think words are very powerful. For example, when in school, when we learned about cyberbullying, or the things you say can have such a big effect on other people, and you may not even know it, or even if you do know it, but sometimes even just a comment, looks like you're eating a lot, or looks like you're hungry, or something like that, can have a big effect on someone, for example, going through an eating disorder recovery, or just saying small little things that you don't actually mean to make them personal and to be harsh. You don't know what someone else is going through. So of course our words have a very powerful impact. Even good words, the other way around, just giving someone a compliment, I like your shirt today. For them, that could have been the best thing happening for them that day. They might have had a really bad day, and that just helped them. So our words are definitely very powerful.
I do think words are very powerful. Just in the Holocaust, Hitler was a really good speaker. He knew how to get to people.
He was very charismatic.
Yeah. And he knew how to persuade people, and because Hitler convinced a bunch of people just from talking that. A lot of it's because of the Jews.
Right. And that's something I've also analyzed in school on. That's how Hitler was able to be voted into power, and then from there you controlled basically everything. And obviously one man alone couldn't have done what happened in the Holocaust, but when you're charismatic, you know how to persuade people, make them feel like you're helping them, that you're there for the good of them, then it's very easy to get a big following. And yeah, definitely the use of words is very powerful.
Yeah.
And it's dangerous.
And then why do you think it is important to never lose hope?
Well, I think the moment you lose hope, you basically just give up. And since we were talking about the book that you read in the Holocaust, it was very, very important. And just, yeah, very important for the Jews who were, for example, locked in the ghettos, who were starved, beaten, all this stuff. Once you lose hope, then you might as well just die. You don't care anymore if you live or not. But when you still have that hope to hold on to, then that's like that's something that no one can take away from you. You know, in the Holocaust, they could take away all your possessions, all your wealth. They took away family, separated them, killed them, whatever it was. But hope is something that can't be taken away. So it's definitely something very valuable and important.
Yeah. So back to the book I was reading, Mouse, the guy was named Vladik, and right. He's a Holocaust survivor. And when you're reading this book, you could see that he never lose hope from when he gets drafted to the Polish army, and then he gets captured with Germans. He never loses hope. And even when he's in Auschwitz, and he still doesn't lose hope there. And
definitely that's something that I think helped him survive. You said he's alive today, right?
Well, yeah. He was a Holocaust survivor.
He was a survivor, correct. Yeah, and I think that's definitely something that was vital in his survival, because once you lose hope, I think it's also something, although it's not something tangible, I think it can affect your health. Mm-hmm. And so it gives you for example, Vladik, let's say he was running or whatever, that little bit of hope could give you like that energy, even though you have no energy, you haven't eaten in days, to keep going. But with the no hope, then what are you going to do? You know,
I totally agree with you. If you run out of hope, it's like you giving up on life.
Right.
And you're just saying, I quit.
Yeah, and you're just letting the people who are oppressing you, for example, in the Holocaust, get exactly what they want you to do.
Yeah. So, thank you, Yelden. I had a really nice time talking to you.
Thank you. Me too. It's always great being in the podcast.
And see you guys next time.
Bye.